If we haven't met before, my name is Leon, and it's my absolute privilege and pleasure to be able to preach for you all today. But before we spend time unpacking God's word this morning, let me pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning to have ears to hear your word. Help me, Lord, as I preach, to preach for your word faithfully and truthfully. We give you thanks for this time we can spend together in Luke. Amen. One of my favorite movies growing up was The Lion King. Much to my parents' dismay, I absolutely loved that film, and I tortured them with constant viewings. I'm sure I could have recited most, if not all, of that movie at one point in my life. As I look back, however, it was actually a pretty bleak film in parts. As an adult now, what stands out to me in particular is a scene where Mufasa is dangling on the side of a cliff with a herd of wildebeests stampeding below. As he's dangling there, he sees his brother Scar. He cries out to him for help, but as Scar reaches down, instead of helping his brother up, he claws at his paws, causing his own brother to fall to his death. This is a kid's movie, by the way. I think that if I could take back the hundreds, maybe thousands of times I've seen this movie, and watch it for the first time as an adult, what would stick with me the most would be the betrayal. There's something so memorable about betrayal, isn't there? It really stays with us. I'm sure we could think about times in our own lives when we've been betrayed by friends or family or husbands or wives. It hurts. And it takes a long time to heal from those events. Movie betrayals like in The Lion King hold nothing in comparison to real life. And what we've read today is a true story of betrayal in the life of Jesus Christ. To recap just a little bit, we find ourselves coming to the end of Jesus' time with his disciples. Last week we heard all about the Last Supper and how it was significant for us. In fact, if you missed last week, I would recommend that you go back and listen to the sermons that Chris preached. But this week in our passage today, Luke 22, verse 39 to 62, we see the continuation of the story and the multiple betrayals Jesus experienced at the hands of some of his closest friends. As we look at this week's passage, please do keep your Bibles open. I've broken up the passage into four key betrayals for us today. Number one, failure to listen. Number two, the kiss. Number three, misunderstanding. And these all build to our fourth and final betrayal, total denial. All of the headings can be found at the back of your service sheet if you'd like to follow along and take notes. Our passage today picks up straight after Jesus' last meal with his disciples has ended. After the meal, Jesus heads out, as usual, we are told, to the garden to pray. However, this time, not only does he pray, but he commands his disciples to pray too. He tells them in verse 40 that they must pray that they will not fall into temptation. Likely this picks up on verses we heard last week, where Jesus is warning the disciples in verse 31 of Luke that Satan is going to try and tempt them away from him, to sift them like wheat. Jesus commands his disciples in verse 40 to be vigilant and to prayerfully ask God to help them to not give in to the temptation to abandon Jesus. Having read the passage in its entirety, we can see that this would have been a great thing for them to be praying. Well, now we see Jesus leaves them to it. He moves a small distance away from them to pray himself. And what Jesus prays here is really worth a look. In verse 42, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is asking God if there is any other way to accomplish what needs to be done, another way so that he doesn't have to go through what he's about to, then please take this cup from him. The cup here most likely alludes to the Old Testament image of God's righteous wrath. God, as described, pours out his wrath on those who deserve judgment. In this case, he is about to pour out the judgment, the righteous wrath that we deserve for our sins, onto Jesus. Let me be clear here. Jesus wasn't just about to take a sip of the cup either, like we might do when we take communion wine out from the chalice. Jesus was to take it all on, every single bit of it. And yet, what does Jesus pray here? In the second half of verse 42, he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." Jesus is willing to cast aside his own desires, his own will, so that God's will is done. Are we like that? Do we give ourselves over to God's will like Jesus does? Or do we do what we want without even considering God's will for our lives? And now let's have a look at how God answers Jesus' prayer by sending an angel to strengthen him. It says here that he is in anguish, but God does not leave him to it. And now we come to our first betrayal, failure to listen. After Jesus is finished praying, he returns now to his disciples in verse 45 and finds them asleep. They haven't done as he's commanded. Notice here it isn't mentioned who it is that didn't listen. The gospel writer Luke didn't seem to think that that was too important for us. But what is important here is that they have let Jesus down. He gave them a simple instruction to pray that they wouldn't fall into temptation to betray him, to abandon him, to let him down. And what is the first thing they do? Exactly what he warned them. Now, we might be tempted here to think that this is a relatively minor betrayal in the scheme of things. However, let's not forget that prayer is so powerful and so important. Jesus is essentially saying to those disciples that if they don't pray, they will give in to temptation. They needed to be asking God to help them so that they would not be tempted to betray Jesus. The disciples needed to be praying here, and instead they were sleeping. They failed to listen to what Jesus commanded, and in doing so betrayed the trust that he had in them. It wasn't like they hadn't been warned by Jesus of what Satan was trying to do, but they let their tiredness get the better of them. Prayer is so vital in the Christian life, especially prayer that we won't be tempted by the devil. And in fact, we actually pray this almost every week when we pray the Lord's Prayer together. It says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And when we pray, we can be sure that God will strengthen us in times of struggle when we ask him. Jesus then tells his disciples again, he really wants them to get it. Pray you will not fall into temptation. It's so important that Jesus repeats himself. Jesus was trusting that they would do what he instructed. They had an opportunity to listen to his instruction, and they blew it. And now it's too late. We now arrive at our second betrayal, the kiss. The moment has come for Judas, one of his apostles, to hand him over to betray him. We saw last week in verses 1 to 6 that Judas was working in the background, looking for a perfect time to hand over Jesus. And in verse 47 and 48, it seems like he's found it. While he, that is Jesus, was still talking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" In Jewish custom, a kiss was a common gesture you gave to someone you cared for, someone you saw as a friend. It was an endearing greeting to show your love for someone. And look at how Judas twists it here. He pretends to be Jesus' friend so that he can point out to the crowd who it is that they've come to arrest. But Jesus sees right through it. And what a question Jesus asks here. "Judas, are you really going to pretend to be my friend and betray me in the same gesture?" It's bad enough when someone betrays us, but to have someone close, like a friend, betray us just hurts so much more. I'm sure we can all think of times when someone has done something similar to us. However, notice that this doesn't take Jesus by surprise. He isn't taken aback or shocked. He knew this was going to happen, and yet he allowed it to happen. Judas was playing right into God's plan There is no surprise in God. God works all situations for his will, including this one. We come now to our third betrayal, the misunderstanding. Let's now have a look at how the disciples respond to attempts to arrest Jesus. From verse 49, when Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Notice the disciples don't even wait to hear what Jesus has to say to them. They just do it. They had already made up their minds, and they clearly thought this was something Jesus wanted them to do. We saw last week, when Jesus was telling them that their journey would be difficult, back in verse 36, that they would need to prepare all things, including things that were necessary for a dangerous journey, including a sword. But the disciples, it seems, took this to mean that they would need to be on the offensive, using their swords to attack those who stood in the way or threatened their ministry. Well, if that was what Jesus meant, then why stop them? Verse 51, but Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Jesus is making it crystal clear here that this was not what he meant. Dear friends, how often are we like this? Rather than waiting patiently, seeing how the Lord will work things out according to his will, we jump in so eager to prove someone wrong or make things happen right now. The disciples here misunderstand all that Jesus has taught them over the last 3 years during their time together. Jesus speaks to the crowd next, but I do actually wonder if this also includes his disciples when he says in verse 52, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs?" This isn't a violent ministry. This isn't just another one of those rebellions against the oppression of the Roman Empire that was common at the time. No, Jesus is doing something much more important. What a shock, I'm sure, all of this was to the disciples. Constantly we see in the Gospels, not just in Luke, that his followers at the time held this idea that Jesus had come to save them from the Roman Empire, a truly conquering Messiah. Well, if that is the expectation, then the next parts of Luke's gospel totally flip that idea on its head, both for the disciples and for us. I hope you'll all be able to come for the next few weeks to see this story play out as we lead up to Easter. But for now, let's move on to our final and possibly most gut-wrenching betrayal of the entire passage today. Our fourth and final betrayal, total denial. After Jesus speaks to the crowd, they arrest him, they take him away, they finally have made their move. It isn't said here what happens to the other disciples, but we know from the other Gospels that they deserted him, they fled, they were terrified of what was going to happen if they stuck with Jesus. Well, all but one. If we were to stop reading here and to not look at the heading, we might really be pleased to know that Peter stuck with Jesus. Peter followed from a distance. Okay, well, maybe there's a large crowd. That's fine. At least he's still with Jesus. It's all right. Maybe, in fact, Jesus was wrong when back in verse 34 he says, Peter will deny him three times. Verse 56. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. Ooh, okay. Well, look, one isn't so bad. Not great. But maybe next time he gets it right. Let's keep reading. Verse 58. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. Yikes, okay. Surely not a third time. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." It all came true. Whatever hope we had that Peter would do the right thing here, he ended up doing the very thing he claimed he wouldn't do, and Jesus was right. Peter, his closest friend, three times claimed he didn't even know him. What heartbreaking verses we read here. If any of the disciples were going to get it right, it should have been Peter. I'm sure some of us here today know what it is like to be on the receiving end of such betrayal. Maybe even some of us have betrayed someone else this deeply. Now, by no means am I saying that we are Jesus or Peter, but it is helpful for us to think about what it would be like for both Peter and Jesus to have experienced this. Well, thankfully, Luke doesn't leave us in the dark. Verse 61, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The frustration and sadness that must have overwhelmed Peter here, he was his closest disciple, his closest friend, and here he was claiming to not even know Jesus. Before we're too quick to judge, though, let's think here for a second. How often do we betray Jesus like this? Maybe we don't totally claim to not be followers of Christ, but how often have we not said anything when someone mocks Jesus? I can think of many times in my life where someone has said something against Jesus and I haven't said a thing. I froze, or if I did say something, it certainly wasn't anything of substance. You see, we betray and deny Jesus regularly. When we sin, we are essentially saying, who is this Jesus? We are choosing to reject him by our thoughts or actions. We might not run away from him like the disciples did. We certainly haven't committed the same sin as Judas, and we aren't currently in Jesus' presence denying him while he is right there. But I'm sure most, if not all of us, have heard what Jesus commands of us, like the disciples did when Jesus tells them to pray and then they ignored his commands. I'm sure that most of us at some point have sold out our beliefs for some quick gain like Judas did. And I'm sure that many of us have denied Jesus by our speech, and if not our speech, then certainly by how we have lived or what we have done. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible makes it so clear we all, like sheep, have gone astray. So why? Why does Jesus go through all this? He knew it was going to happen. We've seen that in the passages that came before. So then why go through all of this? It is because Jesus knew what it was all for. He knew that he came to die for people who betray him like we do. We are the human beings that Jesus chose to die for. He chose to be betrayed, mocked, lied to, denied for people like us, for sinners. There has never been a sacrifice quite like this. We've seen in this passage that Jesus chose to do what needs to be done. He chose to take on the wrath of God in its entirety so that we wouldn't have to, even if it meant total betrayal by all of his closest friends. He died for his disciples. He died for people like Judas, and he died for Peter, and he died for you. Now, if you're sitting here today and you haven't put your faith in Jesus, remember that even though you may not know the person of Jesus, you too betray him by denying the very person who gave you life, breath, and everything else. If this is you, I implore you to seek Jesus before it's too late, because all of us, one way or another, will stand before God and have to answer for our betrayal of Jesus. However, if you are a believer in Christ, then remember that while Satan tries to make us feel guilty for the sin we commit, he holds it over us, we have forgiveness in the person of Jesus. Remember the man Jesus who was rejected by many to pay for the sins of all his people. Remember to pray. Pray God will lead us away from temptation, and pray thankfully for Jesus who died for sinners like us. Let me pray. Lord God, you sent your Son to earth to die for the sins of the world. Thank you for the person of Jesus. Thank you that even though we betray him and reject him every day, that when we ask for forgiveness, we receive it. Not because we deserve forgiveness, but because of the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, who in his name we pray. Amen.